Well, if you listen to Democrats, the results of yesterday's elections were harbingers of things to come, clear evidence that the country has turned against President Bush and the Republicans. Of course, if you listen to the Republicans, these were local races decided on local issues and don't tell us anything about the future. NPR's Ken Rudin, our political editor, is here with us in Studio 3A to straighten us out. The Republicans are right. Democrats held on to governor seats that they held already in Democratic hands in Richmond and Trenton, Virginia and New Jersey. Democrats, though, are right that, they won pretty good races in both those states.
Neil, you're exactly right. They're both right. Republicans can point to 2001 when Democrats won New Jersey and Virginia, and 2002 and 2004 were big Republican victories. So obviously the last go-around in these two states, there was no harbinger of things to come. But having said that, given the fact that things are so bad for the Republican Party, given the fact that President Bush's numbers are at historic lows, given the debacle over the Harriet Myers nomination, given the indictment over Libby Lewis.
That's Scooter Libby.
Yeah, I know that. Lewis Libby. NPR's Lewis Libby. Basically, it's bad news for the Republican Party, and losing in Virginia and New Jersey by this amount did not help the president.
Now, the last time we talked about the governor's race in Virginia, we noted that the Republican candidate there, Mr. Kilgore, had been in the state campaigning twice when President Bush was in Virginia and found reason not to join the president. At the last minute, the waning days of the campaign, polls showed that it was neck and neck. Mr. Bush, on his way back from the Summit of the Americas, on his way back from Panama, goes to Virginia and campaigns with Mr. Kilgore, and then he suffers a terrible defeat.
Well, look, a lot of us thought that Kilgore was going to lose all along, and the fact is that President Bush would have been blamed regardless. If he didn't show up, then they would have said, well, he's running away from his own party. President Bush is a drag on the ticket. So either way, I think Bush would have been criticized for whether he showed up or not. And I think the smart thing to do would be show up, keep the faith for the party, try to bring out the party faithful. But ultimately, I think that Bush was not on the ballot in either Virginia or New Jersey and really had not that much to do with the results.
He was certainly not on the ballot in the city of New York, where a Republican mayor has now been elected four elections in a row.
That's true. A nominal Republican. I mean, Michael Bloomberg was a Democrat until he ran for mayor in 2001. But again, this is the first time in history that a Republican had won in overwhelmingly Democratic New York four times in a row.
Yet was President Bush, in a way, on the ballot in the mayor's race in St. Paul, Minnesota?
Well, the mayor there, Randy Kelly, a Democrat in an overwhelmingly Democratic city, decided in 2004 to endorse President Bush for re-election. That might make sense in some cities in Minnesota, maybe not, perhaps not St. Paul, an overwhelmingly Democratic city. So voters, basically, Mayor Kelly was doing a good job, they thought, on taxes, on crime, on new businesses and economic development. But they took out their ire on the fact that he endorsed President Bush in 2004, and he's out of a job now.
Mm-hmm. And lost to another Democrat.
That's right.
Yeah. And now let's go to California, where Arnold Schwarzenegger prompted what was in that state a special election to push through a number of ballot measures that he said would reform state government. There were more ballot measures got stuck on the ballot after that came out. All eight ballot measures lost.
Well, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger came to California governorship by way of a special election, the recall against Gray Davis, and he suffered from that process as well. What it means for him in re-election in 2006 is too early to say, but again, the aura of an invincible Arnold Schwarzenegger appealing over the Democratic legislature directly to the people is no longer.
And one of the key elements of the Democratic Party coalition over these past many years, the labor movement, did exceptionally well in California.
They did in California, but again, the same Democratic labor unions tried to push through a ballot initiative in Ohio that would take the redistricting apparatus out of the Republican Secretary of State, and they failed there. I think so. I mean, there's a mixed bag for the Labor Party, laborers, and Democratic operatives in California and Ohio. One thing I want to say before we run out of time, perhaps the big winner was Mark Warner in Virginia. We talk about maybe Bush suffered in Virginia, but Mark Warner, the outgoing Democratic governor, not only showed that he could win in a Democratic state, and of course Mark Warner was looking at the presidency in 2008.
In a Republican state.
In a Republican state, right, that President Bush carried twice, but he left his lieutenant governor in charge, and so the legacy there is Mark Warner says, I can win in a red state, and perhaps the Democrats should look at me in 2008.
Let me look at that race in Virginia just a little bit more closely. Now, this was, again, Mark Warner's lieutenant governor. He was term limited. He couldn't run again, so the lieutenant governor runs. If you look further down the ballot, in the race for lieutenant governor and attorney general in the state of Virginia. Republicans did much better. It was the governor's race where they did not do well. Part of that has been blamed on a very negative television campaign run by Jerry Kilgore, the Republican candidate.
That's right. Kilgore ran an ad basically. Well, first of all, Tim Kaine is a Catholic who personally opposes the death penalty. Jerry Kilgore, the Republican nominee, decided to run an ad basically saying that, well, Tim Kaine wouldn't even execute Adolf Hitler. So I think that was a little bit over the top, and voters felt that way, too. Tim Kaine was an interesting example for the Democrats, too. He talked about his faith. Democrats are loath to talk about their faith. We saw that with John Kerry and Howard Dean in 2004. Tim Kaine talked about it, and again, he could show that Democrats can talk about this, and it could prove to be a winning issue.
We're talking with NPR's political editor Ken Rudin about what happened at the polls across the country yesterday, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let me ask you also, Ken, there was a ballot measure in Texas, a proposal to amend the state constitution to bar gay marriage. We saw them so much in the last election. One of these amendments that says a marriage is between one man and one woman. Passed by 2-1, I guess that's no surprise in Texas.
No surprise, but a measure in Maine that would basically get rid of a law that allowed same-sex marriages was defeated. So it's the pro-family folks won in Texas, the pro-civil unions folks won in Maine.
And let me just, looking ahead a little bit, even beyond maybe the midterm elections coming around next time, but to the next presidential election, there was a proposal today from Elijah Cummings, a Democrat from Maryland, that maybe the Democrats ought to hold their political convention in the city of New Orleans.
Well, we did see that. I mean, obviously, everybody tries to talk about how it's going to save the party. Republicans did the exact same thing in 2004 after after what happened in 9/11. Republicans had their convention in New York as a symbol that they still stand by what, you know, the folks in New York and what happened there. And Democrats are perhaps going to do the same thing for New Orleans in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you've said, you can read these tea leaves either way. They may be irrelevant. They may be absolute signals of big changes coming down. As you look ahead now to 2006, the midterm elections, tell us what's at stake as we come up to this big new term.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, whether yesterday's results have anything to do with 2006, that could be debated forever, and it will be. But it would be very interesting. You know, next year you have 36 governorships at stake, 33 Senate seats in the entire House of Representatives. The question is, will Republicans who are thinking about running in 2006, will they go ahead with it? Will they be discouraged by the results of yesterday, and will that keep them from running? If that's the case, and if some Republicans in Congress decide that maybe it's time to retire, if that's the case, then some Democrats are hoping that what we saw yesterday and it could lead to a 2006 the way it hurt the Democrats in 1994.
The people saying yesterday Republicans weren't coming out to vote against their guy. They weren't coming out to vote for the Democrat, but they may not have come out in the numbers in which they normally do. As you're looking ahead 1 year in the election cycle, this is when you're raising money for those election campaigns next fall.
That's right. But if you look at the last numbers, Republicans are doing very well, even with the Katrina backlash, even with, you know, the ethics charges against the White House, even with President Bush's low poll numbers. Republicans are still doing well. They're raising the Republican National Committee is far outraising the Democratic National Committee. So, again, things are not all bleak. And while yesterday was clearly a good win for the Democratic Party, a good day for the Democratic Party, it may say absolutely nothing about 2006 or beyond.
And on Capitol Hill, Democrats seem to be newly revived in the past several weeks.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you see this. They may not have a solution to what goes on in Iraq. They may not have a solution for repairing the budget, but they know who to lash out against. President Bush's numbers have taken a nosedive. It's below 40%, the lowest of his career, lowest of his presidency. And Democrats are flatly saying, look, this is a culture of corruption. They lump, Louis Libby with Tom DeLay, with Bill Frist, with Jack Abramoff, the Republican lobbyist, with everything else, and they think this is the year to do it. The thing is that while Republican numbers, generic Republican numbers, are down, Democrats have not really picked up the slack. In other words, the numbers for Democrats are not so good either. So clearly 2006 is up for grabs.
And in opinion polls, you're perfectly able to say, well, I don't like him. But in elections, you have to say, well, I'm going to vote for one or the other. And that's where it gets difficult.
That's a very good point. And that's exactly the thing with George Bush in 2004. For a long time, 2003. His numbers were kind of waning. But when the voters had to decide between Bush and Kerry, they chose George Bush. So, again, Bush against Bush, Bush loses. But perhaps a Republican nominee against a Democratic nominee, things could change.
Here's an email, by the way, we got from Honor. Everyone is saying that Tim Kaine won in our red state, Virginia, because he was following in the footsteps of Mark Warner. What they don't mention is why Mark Warner is so popular in Virginia. He's a moderate. He stays on the issues that are important to Virginia's economic health and refuses to get sidetracked on issues like flag burning or abortion.
That's exactly right. And again, if you look at the last three Democratic presidents, it's not a coincidence that all three, Lyndon Johnson, Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton, all came from the South, all ran moderate, so-called moderate campaigns away from the so-called Mondale McGovern wing of the Democratic Party. If you run as a moderate, if you co-opt Republican issues, these moderates say you have a chance. Now, the liberals in the Democratic Party say, wait a second, what's the difference between a Democrat and Republican if you're co-opting Republican issues? There are some on the left, there are some progressive Democrats who say, you know, if you want to run as Republican light, fine, but then what does the Democratic Party stand for?
Tim Rudin?
Or Fred Rudin.
Whichever Rudin. Right. One of those Rudins.
Libby Rudin.
Libby Rudin joined us here in Studio 3A as Ken Rudin. He writes our column on NPR.org. What's the name of that column this week,
Ken? Political Junkie.
Oh, I know that, but what's the name of it this week?
It's Why I Was Right in Every Election and I'm Always Right by Ken Rudin.
But that's every week.
Well, thank you very much.
NPR's political editor Ken Rudin joined us here in Studio 3A. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.